This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 242, recorded Monday, March 16th, 2015, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Is it exciting? Will it be exciting? Is that what you're promising?
Excitement is not guaranteed, void where prohibited. Excitement may not appear in all places. Those who experience excitement should sit down, as it may cause dizziness or other symptoms. Consult a physician.
Elevated heartbeat, palpitations, dizziness, dancing.
Consult your physician.
All sorts of nonsense and shenanigans.
Excuse me, but we should make sure we have people consult their physician. It's very important, because if they don't and they get sick, they might sue us for all the money that this podcast makes.
$3.45 a year?
I don't know, not really. But we have a new guest in the chat today.
Hi, Imanon.
9046.
Did I say that right?
I don't know, he'll tell us. From New Brunswick, Canada.
Canada in the house.
Who is learning to play the PVC flute.
North of the house.
So basically, maybe we can get, you know, an alternative rendition of the song. Do you remember the time that I had our theme song, which for some reason is When You're Smiling, played on a tuba?
Oddly enough, no.
When we were at Self, there was a guy there with a tuba. I made him play it.
Oh. No, I don't remember
that. You don't remember me playing the recording?
No, I don't remember that.
It's either your bad memory or I never played the recording.
I'm willing to bet it's my bad memory.
Okay.
We have much evidence that I have an extremely bad memory.
Okay. And as far as I
just
know...
Just ask my wife.
Do you remember where you left her?
Yes. I mean, my memory's not that bad. I'm not senile. I just forget stuff.
Okay. So it's been an exciting week.
It so has.
Why? Did something happen?
I don't know. You said it was exciting. I was agreeing with you.
Okay. Well, I've been continuing my air traffic control experiments, which I told you about. I was able.
Yes.
To...
Did you get a bigger? Oh no, this is squirrel. It goes at the end of the podcast. Yeah.
I know that. I just wanted to mention it so that we wouldn't forget.
Okay.
And I've been doing all sorts of other exciting things. And on a programming note, if you would like to see me in person and you're in the Boston area, I have announced I will be attending Indie Webcamp Cambridge later this week.
Indie who, what, where?
We discussed this last week. Indie Webcamp Cambridge, which will be followed by Libra Planet, which I really should figure out what I'm going to do about because I didn't give them any money. And I assume that if I don't give them money, they won't let me see Murph.
Ooh.
Well, Murph is going to be there. Murph is in the chat room tonight, so maybe I have to, you know, go to the outside of it and wave and say, please send Murph out.
Send out your Murph.
Or join the FSF. I suppose I could do that too. I'm trying to decide. Then I can get on mailing lists. I wonder what sort of mailing list you get on if you're part of the Free Software Foundation. Anyway, let's talk about some things. Admittedly, there are a few sad notes. And other than Android 5.1, it was a relatively slow news week. Did you know that Android 5.1 was released and none of us have it?
I heard it was supposed to be on Sprint Nexus 5s. Yesterday.
But I don't have a Sprint Nexus 5. Do you have a Sprint Nexus 5?
I have a Nexus 5 on Sprint.
But do you have a Sprint Nexus 5? As in one that was purchased from Sprint, not one that was activated on Sprint?
No.
Okay. And what is mine on? It's not on Sprint.
It's on Ting?
Yeah. It's on GSM Ting.
GSM Ting.
Yep.
Ting to Ting.
Well, let's see what else we have here.
I thought I lost connection for a minute.
Ting, ting, ting.
Ting, 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 yeah, ting, ting, ting.
I moved
ting,
my phone ting. From CDMA ting, which is Sprint, to GSM Ting.
Which is T-Mobile.
They're not allowed to say, but yes. I figured it would be a nice change. I like the flexibility of GSM, but the pricing of Ting. Also, I kept the SIM card from Sprint, or the UICC card, or whatever it is. Anyway, moving along. Google may be working on built-in VPN for open networks. So Google would protect you by providing you with a complimentary VPN.
Now, let me make sure I get this straight.
Yeah.
I have my phone.
Yeah.
I connect to a public Wi-Fi.
Yes.
And it says, oh, this is a public Wi-Fi, so we're going to route every single byte that you send through our servers encrypted between your phone and our service before we let it loose out onto the wild, wild internet. Is that pretty much what this is?
Basically.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, I appreciate the fact that they're trying to protect people in general. I certainly hope that there is a way to opt out of this, if you know what I mean.
Well, I assume there is. You can just turn it off. I don't think they can force you to use their
VPN. Turn off the Wi-Fi. I don't know if you could turn off the
No, I'm assuming VPN. It's a setting. Why would they force you to use their VPN?
I don't know. Because it gives them more information about what you're doing. And that's what
that's
they
why
live
they,
on.
Well, that's why they want to offer you a VPN, not why they would want to force it on you.
Ah. Okay. I'm just being paranoid. Pay me no mind.
Okay. Well, how about this? Google has cooked up a reference app to guide developers to making multi-device apps.
Have you looked at this? Okay, so the reference app is a media player, right?
Yeah.
The source code is available on GitHub under the Google Samples account. And if you're a developer, one of the best ways to learn how to improve your craft is by reading code. And it would appear that there's a lot of code under the Google Samples. And it's also nice to have Google provide an app, not just, you know, a little snippet of how to do a specific thing, but the entire app. I believe even if you don't want, or not, even if you are not interested in making a mobile player per se, that
it's worth
the entire app is definitely worth the study.
So what are you inspired to do, Jerry?
Recommend people watch it, or read the code.
Okay. So you haven't been inspired to write a follow-up to my soundboard?
Not right now. My development plate is pretty full.
I understand. But maybe somebody will be inspired. There are so many options.
There are a lot of interesting samples under that GitHub account. So, I mean, even if I say check it out, there's some cool stuff in there.
That's me typing again. I know how much you love it. Anyway.
Tippity tap tap tap.
I'm switching Windows. We have
reversible. You're switching to Windows?
No, switching Windows. I still do have that Micro Center Winbook TW at 700.
Okay.
Which I'm not allowed to talk about yet.
Sorry, I was making a joke.
Yes, I'm
aware.
I was
trying to make a joke.
I'm laughing hysterically.
I'm sure you are.
Aha. Aha. But either way, where was I? Oh, yes, the reversible C connector. See, you made me lose my train of thought. Are you excited about the C connector, which was revealed on some sort of Apple product and on the new Chromebook Pixel? And it may be coming to new things?
You know, okay, I'm just, one of the things I like about the micro USB port is everything uses it, right? My mouse uses it, my phone uses it, my earphones.
But the idea is that everything will be using this.
Right, so I guess I like it. The fact that it's reversible is nice.
Have you noticed, I'm going to just point this out, a Chromebook and a MacBook are both using the same charging connector and interface connector.
Yes.
If both sides can do that, then the likelihood is it will become a standard.
I would agree. The tininess of that connector, and they can shove 100 watts over it and enough bandwidth for a display and still be able to plug in accessories.
Why do you think people are switching to it?
Wow.
The only thing that surprises me is the same thing that's good about it, which is two companies that are usually in opposition to each other are both agreeing they're going to adopt it. When was the last time Apple and Google agreed on something?
SSDs.
But you understand what I mean on adopting a new
standard. Yes, I do. Especially
with something like a charger, where the aftermarket for third-party chargers, because they're all non-standard, is so big.
Yes, especially for laptops.
Yeah, they're those universal ones where you have I remember I bought a universal one at the store, and it didn't have a tip for my device, so I had to call the company and get one. They actually had on the box.
Not so universal.
Well, they actually had on the box that you get one "quote unquote" free. So if yours isn't in the box, they'll send you the one for your device once. So you can't just keep changing.
Well, I look forward to our new reversible USB-C connector overlords.
There's an overlord? You're talking about the IETF?
No.
What overlord would there be? Or you look forward to the ubiquity of the connectors, but I didn't think there was an overlord.
It's the connector overlord.
So it's one cord to rule them all?
Apparently.
Okay.
No, it's a good thing. I mean, the fact that it's tiny and will be used for, I don't know, it just...
Well, they've been working on this.
Because it's so tiny.
And it was meant to solve this problem. You're surprised that they actually achieved their goal?
I guess.
Yeah. I'm always surprised when people achieve their goal. Anyway, back to Android 5.1, which we mentioned earlier. It supports multiple SIM cards, HD voice, and more. So a lot of bug fixes, and those were the most noticeable features of Android 5.1.
Apparently, it's got a lot of stuff. It's not a minor upgrade, as the 0.1 would indicate.
Well, no, there's a lot of stuff in there, but what I'm saying is it's more a lot of minor tweaks than necessarily big... Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. And long may I be blessed.
Gesundheit.
And long may I be blessed.
Okay.
But what other changes did you notice? There are other changes. But what changes?
I'm at a loss.
You don't remember the changes that you saw?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I have a solution for that, Jerry. I just happened to have bookmarked the solution to your problem. Right in my list of fun bookmarks here, I have a copy of the developer changelog posted for every code commit from 5.0.2 to 5.1.0.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Well, I'm going to send you the link so you can enjoy it, and I will have to put it in the show notes. I have posted the link, and I will be putting it into the show notes. So it includes such things as improvements to the Android runtime.
Lots of art fixes.
Yeah, but if you actually look at the thing, if you were to print this, I'm just wondering how many pages it would end up being.
Wow.
If you were to print the thing, it would be 259 pages.
It's long.
Yeah, and basically it's a script that the people at Android Police are putting out that was originally written and modified by various people that takes all of the bugs that were sent out and puts it into one gigantic list. So it's not put out by Google. It's harvesting information that Google's put out. So a lot of changes. 259 pages worth.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is why I say it's a lot bigger.
Yeah, but it's not really so much
than the 0.1 would indicate.
Yeah, a lot of fixes, but not necessarily any real gigantic features. A lot of it is improvements on things they already had. Which once Android gets to this point, how many new features can you put in, to be honest? You just iterate. That's a thing, right?
Well, yes. But, I mean, once it makes a phone call, everything after that is iteation.
Does your phone make phone calls, sir?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, I know you don't like
talking to people. It receives them as well.
I know you don't like talking to people.
Only once a week.
Thank you. It's the highlight of my week. You don't say anything mean most of the time. Anyway, moving along, Wunderlist has launched a redesigned app.
See, you say Wunderlist. I thought it was Wunderlist.
Not that I know of, but...
Wunderlist.
You'll have to go check up pronunciation.
I am going to pronounce it Wunderlist.
Wunderbar.
No, it's not a bar. It's a list.
No, I'm reacting to your decision to pronounce it that way.
Okay.
By saying Wunderbar.
Well, doesn't it look like a German word? Wunderlist. Wunderlist.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so it's a to-do list app, right?
There are a lot of nice to-do list apps.
Okay. Why is this one so spiffy?
People like it. It's very popular.
Lots of people like lots of things.
So what you're saying is that there's no... If people like things, it isn't an indication that there might be some merit to it? I'm not saying there is, but that's usually an indication that it is not completely worthless.
Well, okay. So I can tell you what. What it strikes me about Wunderlist.
Yeah.
You can run it everywhere.
I like apps like that. But you can do that with
Google. It'll run on iOS. It'll run on Macs. It'll run on Android. It'll run on Windows. It'll run on Windows Phone. I think the only thing it won't run on is Raspberry Pi or a BlackBerry.
There's no accounting for taste. No Pi running.
Sounds like a positive to me.
Well, I don't know. There are other to-do lists. How about Google
Keep? Anyway, the whole... I think that's one of the features of apps that I'm starting to like.
Web apps.
You know, a trend. Well, yeah, that they're available everywhere.
I like that.
You know, everywhere I go, my data's available. And as long as it's not critical data, I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about that till later and my thoughts on that particular subject.
Okay.
Remind me to talk about that subject later and things that run on the web and thus run on every platform.
And secureness or just webbiness or cloudiness?
Yes, we'll talk about cloudiness.
Okay.
Okay. Dropbox for Android has been updated. There's now in-document search and a PDF viewer.
Yay! So that means that Dropbox will be indexing the internals of all of your documents. Woo!
You could always run OwnCloud.
You could.
Or I have a QNAP that I think has some sort of thing built into it.
I've been doing BitTorrent Sync lately. BitSync.
I don't really like the idea.
Of what?
BitTorrent Sync. If I'm going to leave Dropbox, it's to roll my own solution.
Oh, okay.
Possibly my own solution may include third-party hosting, but if it includes encryption, I don't care where I store it. Anyway, moving along. Evernote was updated with a new design. So if you don't like Wunderlist, or whatever you want to call it, Wunderlust or whatever it is, well, how about Evernote?
Yay, Evernote's still alive. Woot.
Well, SpringPad's gone. Do you remember when I was when I talked about that Evernote companion SpringPad?
Yes.
That's dead.
Oh, sad.
Yep. And Pocket Casts, which I'm currently using for my podcast listening, was updated with a completely new design and a truncate silence option. Truncate silence.
Does that mean it skips silent?
It truncates it.
What does that mean?
It shortens it. So if there's a long pause, it'll now get rid of it. That's what I do to this podcast every week. You know that.
So it should not do anything to our podcast, is what you're saying.
Well, admittedly, its silence truncation may be more aggressive than mine. Mine is just for those long dramatic pauses.
And it takes out the drama.
No, it doesn't. It's designed for a certain threshold and length. So it doesn't eliminate silence. It just makes it shorter. So if I pause for dramatic effect, I will still pause for dramatic effect.
But the dramatic effect will be less because the pause will be less. That's all I'm saying.
Nobody's complained. I can only tell you one thing. I listen to podcasts now with silence truncated and at 2x.
2x?
Yeah.
Wow.
It took a while.
I listen at 1x and some podcasts I got to back it off. No, I'm at 1.5x. 1.6x for some
podcasts. I've mastered two.
Wow.
Took a while.
You don't drive while you're listening to podcasts, do you?
Yes, I do.
Huh.
As I said, it took time. See, what you have to do is you have to go up by 0.1x every week until you've trained yourself. I picked this up. You remember Jonathan Nadeau, who was on this podcast?
Yes.
I think he's using like 5x. What he was doing, when he uses devices, he has to have it speak to him. So he's trained himself to listen, you know, and run his interface very fast. So the only way you can get to that speed is to gradually increase it until you're used to it and to train yourself to be able to interpret it. So I don't think I could go above 2 because it would require too much of my attention, but I was able to get to 2.
Wow.
Yes, apparently we do not have any love for BeyondPod. We don't have any hate for it.
No.
No, I was using Dogcatcher for a while. I just felt it wasn't iterating. And I like those people who do Pocket Cast. They seem to have a nice sense of humor.
Yes. Yes, they do. I like Dogcatcher precisely because it does not iterate. I don't like change.
Well,
the
things that I wanted it to change were the things that they were promising. For example, I'll ask you, I haven't opened up Dogcatcher in a while. Did the Cloud Sync ever come out of beta? It was in there for over a year last time I gave up.
Let me take a look. See, I don't remember a Cloud Sync thing. Let's do...
Well, under settings, there was like a whole beta thing there for a while.
Experimental features.
Cloud Sync?
Cloud Sync is still in the experimental features.
That's one of the reasons that annoyed me. It was one of the features I wanted that my list of things I was subscribing to and my status in them, not the actual files, just the data on them, would be stored so that I could restore my device exactly where I was, or if I switched to a different device, it would remember where I was.
Yes, that would be nice.
But for some reason, for the longest time, it was never implemented, and it still hasn't been.
Does such a feature exist in BeyondPod or Pocket Cast?
Pocket Cast has it. I think BeyondPod might, but I haven't.
Right, because there. Well, they keep everything in the cloud, right? I mean, even when you download your podcast, you're downloading it from them, right?
No. The only thing that they're doing is keeping the data on what files in the feed you haven't marked as read or listened to and where you are in anything. So basically what minute you left off on, as far as I know. I could be wrong. We could ask them. Might take a while. They're in Australia. I'm not sure if they're willing to come on and talk to us.
Okay.
You want me to send them a message and say we're curious? Would you stop by our little podcast? I'm not really good at guest accumulation.
It's okay.
I need a talent agent, you know, like a scout, you know, somebody who goes out there and shamelessly tries to book people for the show. If you're interested in this job pays nothing, but if you work hard, I will forget to send you an Android Buffet mug, which reminds me I owe someone a mug. Who do I owe the mug again?
I don't know.
I owe you something, too.
You do?
Didn't I say I'd send you some new Android Buffet business cards? With our new logo?
Woo! I like our new logo.
Yeah, I had them put on business cards. I meant to send you some. Anyway, but I'm very upset. I just realized I went to the post office today, and I could have mailed them. I've been avoiding the post office because I hate going to the post office. Really wish we had stamps or something as a sponsor right now. I could make a lot of money.
Yep.
They never offered. Anyway, let's see. What do we have here? Oh, yes. Apparently now you can watch people code the same way people watch people play video games.
Yep.
Have you watched this, Jerry?
And I have watched some people code, and it is educational. Not only are you watching them code, but most of the time they tend to talk a lot as well. So it's not near as interesting as I think it could be, but it depends on whoever's doing it.
Well,
there is even an entire subreddit for people saying, hey, I'm going to write some code. I'm going to stream it, and here's the link.
Well, you know what I can
really
say.
What's that?
That what I've been doing lately doesn't sound quite as strange. Watching people fly doesn't seem quite as strange when you're sitting around watching people write code.
Yep.
Anyway, moving along. Sir Terry Pratchett has unfortunately died at the age of 66.
And he was a famous author, correct?
Yes, he wrote the Discworld series. I think there were over 60
books. Among other things.
Well, that's the one he's most famous for. But he was very well known for writing, and I like to mention whenever the world has lost somebody. I'm still trying to get over Leonard Nimoy. Mm-hmm. I was listening to my new copy of Leonard Nimoy's album. There's nothing to depress you more than listening to Leonard Nimoy singing his rendition of If I Had a Hammer. Anyway, moving along.
I hope you're not waiting for a comment from me on that.
I don't know. Did you have one?
Nope.
Okay. Lisa is in Shatner singing Mr. Tambourine Man. So, apparently, the head of the Internet Policy Subcommittee has never actually sent an email.
I don't know why this is surprising.
No, it's depressing.
He's a politician, right? He's
yes.
got staff and stuff. And the staff's going to do his emailing for him. And will probably even make his decisions for him. I mean, he's like a figurehead dude, right?
So what you're saying is that politicians are puppets led around by their staffers on behalf of their donors?
Would I say such a thing? Yes, I would. And I would probably believe it, too.
Okay. I just think it is depressing that somebody... It's not like a theoretical thing where you have to necessarily be an expert. For example, you have people who sit on committees for climate change and the environment who frequently say, I'm not an expert on the subject. Okay, maybe there you should have a science background or some, you know, more formalized science education. This is Internet policy.
At that point, you should at least have people to make decisions based on things that they understand. And I just don't think that's reasonable for our government.
So what you're saying is that politicians shouldn't actually understand what they're deliberating? That's depressing.
Shouldn't? No, I didn't say that.
Don't.
I did not say shouldn't. I said don't.
Isn't that not depressing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I find myself becoming more cynical and paranoid in my old age. I wonder why.
the world's going somewhere and we don't like where it's going. What was that expression you used to use on that other podcast you used to have? Get off my lawn.
I use that here.
You did?
I say get off my lawn all the time.
Did you?
Good. Don't I?
I don't remember.
I do at work. I don't, maybe not here.
I don't know. How old are you again?
I turned 40 a couple weeks ago.
Did you tell me?
I don't know.
I would have, you know, I would have wished you many happy returns and given you some sort of inspirational word. So I'm going to have to do that now.
No, dude, I'm sure you did at the time. Don't worry about it.
Well, I need to cover myself just in case. Jerry?
No, that's fine. Seriously. I mean, dude, you're like over 2 weeks old.
Yeah, but I feel like...
After the fact, so I'm sure you've covered it in the 2 weeks since.
But I do want to say one thing.
Then don't you worry about it.
I'm worried, but you're not letting me say the
one thing. No, don't.
You want me to save it for next year?
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was going to say something nice. I'm surprised you don't want me to say something nice.
I don't believe you.
Over these last few years that we've spent together, Jerry, I have appreciated you, and I think that you have only grown as a co-host with age. What's the term they put in? Ripened?
Ripened, like a spoiled banana. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that you know, when you started the show, you were a co-host, but now over time you've become a co-host. You have upped your game. Some days.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Google has announced the closure of Google Code. Time to move to GitHub.
Well, you can move to GitHub, or there are several projects.
Bitbucket.
You have your own. Bitbucket's available.
GitLab.
Well, GitLab is a service that you would run on your own servers. There's GOGS, which is a Git server written in Golang. I mean, SVN. There are options. That's not an option.
Why not?
Nope. Speaking of things of which you know not, just no, SVN is not an option. Anyway, I mean, there are tools that will automatically migrate your stuff from Google Code to GitHub, so...
It has to be an option. Fine. They're making me use it. That's how you contribute to WordPress.
That's just evil.
Don't look at me. I assume they just started with it and didn't change. The people at WordPress are pretty set in their ways.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, it's written in PHP. So PHP, SVN, yeah, I'm not surprised they go together.
I'm not so unhappy with PHP. I've been writing it. Anyway, you can give me your opinion of PHP another time. We have to cover Project Loon. Apparently, it can provide LTE to an area the size of New Jersey.
From a balloon.
Yes, and I wanted to make sure that it was the size of
New
Jersey.
This is a weather balloon that they're using to provide not-so-temporary LTE coverage to an area.
Yes, and I said New Jersey because I thought Murph might be here. The actual article says Rhode Island. I wanted to see if you noticed. Somebody say, okay, Google.
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, apparently Netflix got their app working on an original Nintendo.
Oh, cool.
Would you want to watch House of Cards on a Nintendo?
Not really.
You watch anything on Netflix?
I do. I'm currently working my way through Star Trek DS9.
I remember that show.
I never watched it, so I'm going through it for the first time.
Yeah, just...
I don't understand why my dad loves it.
I don't know. I just know that I pissed off the Nah Visitor.
The who?
The woman who plays Kira. I'm trying to add to the list of famous Star Trek individuals I've annoyed. Not okay. Deliberately. See, the thing is, you usually think that the people who would annoy actors or actresses who have been on Star Trek are the rabid fans, the ones who are very enthusiastic and just want to talk to them for long periods of time and ask all sorts of questions. I don't know how I piss off people. Anyway.
Okay, so you were going, now that we have reached the end of our show notes, you are going to talk about cloudy stuff.
Yes. Well, I mentioned that I'm going to Indie Web Camp.
Okay, now what is Indie Web Camp?
You do know I've explained this to you before, right?
No.
Haven't you visited the website in all the time that I've mentioned Indie Web Camp? Something that I am very enthusiastic about?
Well, so, sure I have, but that doesn't mean our listeners have.
Okay, so basically the Indie Web is a people-focused alternative to things like Facebook and all these other sites where you're putting your content and information on their sites instead of your site. So basically the idea is that your content is under your control. So it's, let's go old school, it's have a blog. You remember when people had blogs? and they hosted them on their own sites.
Lots of people still have blogs.
Yes, but the problem, right? There's a problem, though. People there don't seem to take blogs seriously anymore.
That's only because the people that write blogs have typically been unprofessional and don't check their sources, and some of them are blithering idiots.
Well, you're thinking more of blogs that are more news-like. I'm referring to a more personal blog. So basically your own website for you, where you talk about things that interest you. So you're not trying to be a news person. You're trying to have some sense of decorum, but it's you. It is an expression of you.
Okay.
So one of the things that has come out of the indie web is, obviously, by you having a site, you cannot go and shut yourself up in your site. One of the reasons why all of these articles, statuses, and all these other things go to all these services, and why people put them there, is that they want to interact with other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the whole idea of the indie web is that your site is you, and you are syndicating that information and sending it to all these other sites where you want to engage with other people. And their responses come back to your site, so they're all in one place. So it is the same interaction you'd have somewhere else, except it is happening at your home. So how does this relate to HTML and web apps?
I have no idea.
Well, the idea is, and one of the things that the indie web camps discuss, and that's where people get together and discuss ideas. So it's usually a two-day event. One day you essentially talk about things that you are thinking about and plans and concepts, and the second day you put something together. So one day you build, the other day you talk. Traditional, bar camp style.
Cool.
So basically one of the things that they have focused on is that any of the standards they use are very basic HTML standards. So most of the stuff is not, complicated APIs and all this. It's all designed to be very easy to implement. And it all runs over HTML. So it means that any service can implement the standard and communicate with other sites regardless of what's on either end. It goes back to what I was talking about. So as long as both ends know how to speak the language, and the language is HTML, then both sites can get and share information.
Sweet.
Yep. That's why I'm very interested.
And you've gotten very passionate about this. So there's a conference, and you're going to go do your thing there.
In Boston,
which is what, like 15 minutes away?
By Concord, maybe.
Well, okay, you're in New York. Boston's in Massachusetts. Aren't you guys like neighbors?
The states do touch each other, yes. Are you talking about driving time or flying? Are you talking about driving time or flying time?
Whatever.
Okay, a flight would be about an hour. Driving, 4 to 5. You could probably get it down to under 4.
What?
What?
From New York to Boston?
Between 4 and 5 hours. What,
15, 20 miles? I mean, the states up there are tiny.
Well, let's see what Google Maps says. So we're going to go right now from New York, New York, to Boston, Massachusetts. Let's see what Google says. 3 hours and 42 minutes from the heart of New York City to the heart of Boston, assuming no traffic. I'm assuming traffic, so I'm
okay,
saying
between 4 and 5. Okay, but how long does it take you to get out of the heart of New York?
Well, this 215
miles.
Yeah. This is, but again, that's from the heart of New York to the heart of Boston. One, I'm not in the heart of New York. I'm off to the side. So you know what's interesting? I live on Long Island. You've heard of this?
Yes.
It's a Long Island.
Right.
Now, the problem is that all of the bridges that go from Long Island to the mainland are all west of Long Island. Boston is east. So in order to go east, I must go west. I must go inward, cross over to the mainland, and then go outward.
Because you can't go off the other end.
Well, see, there's a few things. Now, there was supposed to be a bridge, the Rye Oyster Bay Bridge. Guess what?
Uh-huh.
That would take me from the mainland further east over to Long Island and vice versa. They never built it.
Well, no. The road that was apparently, you can take a ferry.
Who takes ferries? The ferry will take longer than going. The ferry will take longer than crossing the bridge.
You could go to, I don't know what it's called.
Greenport.
Oh, Cross Sound Ferry. Yeah, you could go to Cross Sound Ferry and take the ferry.
But the ferry is slower than driving around.
That's just wrong.
Now, if I was further east, that would be different. The ferry would be closer. But basically, they put a bridge further out to connect to the mainland at some of the shorter distances, this would have been different.
You could take the But that, there's like two ferries.
But that's actually how the Long Island Railroad came into being. The Long Island Railroad is the oldest railroad in the country still operating under its original charter. But it was originally founded to take people from New York City to Boston. So they would traverse Long Island, go to Greenport, get on the ferry, and then meet up with the rest of the trip on the other side.
You could take the Bridgeport ferry.
Which goes to where?
Fairfield?
Fairfield Bridgeport. Is next. Fairfield is next to Bridgeport. That's on the other side.
Yes. It go, oh, you mean on the Long Island?
Yes. But
Stony Brook?
Why would I want to go to Stony Brook?
I don't know.
Have you ever been to Stony Brook?
I have never been to anywhere on Long Island.
And why is that? You're always welcome here.
Because it's cold.
We have summer.
Well, summer. I'm not busy. I'm busy those 2 days.
I don't know. Either way, if you're in Boston, stop by. It's at MIT. Will you at least say that the idea is interesting, Jerry?
Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely. Okay.
And I found, since I discovered this organization a year ago, I've become involved. I've enjoyed being involved.
I can't believe Boston and New York are so far apart.
How far did you think they were?
I think the states up there are tiny.
Yes, but if they were that close together, they would have combined into one gigantic megacity by now. Next thing you're going to tell me that I could walk to Washington.
You can't? Sure you can. No. Well, I guess there are bridges, so sure, why not?
I meant, you know, in an hour.
Oh, no, no. That's, no. You've got like Philadelphia in between you and Washington, right? I mean, yes, there's like a whole
Baltimore.
State.
Baltimore.
Yeah, so, no, I didn't think you could do that.
Wilmington?
Wilmington? Well, Wilmington's not really a city.
I'm going to send Vice President Biden after you for that one. Oh, Murph has commented that I haven't cleared that with the rest of Long Island, that you might not be welcome. But you are apparently welcome in New Jersey.
And for why would I go to New Jersey?
I ask myself that regularly. I've been staying away from it for years. And, you know, I'm so close, I could see New Jersey from my living room. If I look at a map.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But that's the fun I've been having.
I can see Philadelphia from my living, from my office by looking at a map.
Well, I've been watching planes take off from Newark, so I'm still having a lot of fun with that. I don't know why. I just like watching.
I don't either.
No, I just like watching.
No, that's cool.
For example, right now, Spirit Airlines Flight 710 is at 3775 and descending 215 knots, and it's 11.1 miles away from here. It's currently circling around Fort Lee, New Jersey, and will likely be making a landing at LaGuardia Airport, inbound, let's see if I can find out, inbound from Florida, Fort Lauderdale specifically. Estimated time of arrival, 10:49. There's a time delay. Otherwise, people would be able to shoot down planes, and they frown on that sort of thing. Ooh, there's a UPS there's a UPS plane. It's ascending through 11,400 feet now. 425, 450, 475. Isn't this riveting radio, Jerry?
I think we should call it a night.
Okay. And it's on its way to Rockford International Airport in Illinois. Anyway, I just have fun with it.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yep. And I'm contributing to FlightAware. They gave me a free membership. Nice people. Shall we conclude for the evening?
Let's conclude for the evening. We had a good podcast.
Why don't we do it again next week?
What? Gosh.
Yeah, I'm very excited about next week. Next Sunday is the 4-year birthday of my car. It was manufactured on March 22nd, 2011. I'm very excited, Jerry. What does one do for one's car in honor of its 4-year birthday?
I don't know.
Because
get
you know
an oil change?
Oh, I take care of that. Because only 2 weeks later is the anniversary of the day I bought it. And do you know what I'm going to do on that day?
I have no idea.
Stop paying for it. My loan is over. 4 years to the day I bought it. So I'm excited. I will own my first automobile.
Congratulations.
See, the problem is I consider it my first automobile because the previous one I bought was used. This is my first new car, but by the time I've actually finished paying for it, it's not new anymore. My previous car was over 10 years old, but I was not the first owner. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program for this evening. Oh, and Jerry, did you get a chance to look at what I showed you I did with that 7-inch tablet?
Yes, I did.
I have taken it. I have mounted a USB camera on top of it, put it on a stand. And now
and why?
What?
And why?
I'm going to take it to Boston with me.
Oh, for, okay.
So if somebody's speaking at the event, they'll be able to speak at the event and it will record it. I thought that was a clever way to solve the problem of how do people's speaking, well, it's usually the panels and the demonstrations, how do they get recorded for posterity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody told me that they thought that my video support for this event was going to be awesome. I told them they should change the last four letters to F-U-L. I'm using a $60 tablet, a USB web camera, and a lighting stand. I'm not sure
Good if job.
That's awesome. That's just weird. Anyway, shall we conclude?
Let's conclude.
If you'd like to draft us an email, please take your email sending device and tune it to podcast at androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. You may, of course, also send us paper mail. You may send that to Jerry. So far, he's never received any, but I'm sure someday he will. We do still have our New Jersey-based telephone receptionist. That's 2012-WENECA. That's W-E-N-E-C-A. Nobody's left a message there in a while. We occasionally get messages by email, including this message from Ben. Ben wanted to suggest that we talk about Fuelio, which is fuel.io, which is a mileage tracker, and it is available for Google Play. I have not had a chance to test this app, but he very much likes it. I'm thinking of tracking my mileage just to see how that works. I'm planning a road trip at the end of the month. We also got a lovely message from the door-to-door geek who hasn't emailed us in a while and wants to know if what we think of an original Xiaomi, is it Xiaomi? Mi Box.
I don't know what that is.
It is an Android 4.4 media player with 1 gigabyte of RAM, 4 gigabytes of read-only memory, 1080p, Bluetooth, etc. In his opinion, it is good bang for the buck. Excuse me. I hope to hear from Dor in the near future. He's been absent. I remember when he used to call us from his car.
You know, I was just listening to a podcast the other day, and he was on it. Apparently, he's a regular host.
What podcast isn't he on? He's on a lot of them.
I don't know. It was, what was it?
I don't know.
Pulling up. It was Linux for the Rest of Us.
Yeah, he does that one. I'm impressed you were listening to it, though. Speaking of Linux, we did also get a message from Kevin Wisher, who said to you, Jerry, if you like Arch Linux, then you want to give Manjaro a try. It is the equivalent of what Mint has done to Ubuntu. A lot more user-friendly. One benefit of Manjaro over stock Arch is that they do not pull the current Arch packages into their stable repos until they are sure they are stable, which makes for a smooth rolling release.
Neat. And from what I understand, the installer for the Manjaro stuff is a lot easier than straight Arch as well, because, whoo boy, installing Arch, that's an exercise in learning.
Well, I've been installing Debian on Raspberry Pis, which I know you hate so much.
Well,
these are Pi 2s.
Debian has an installer, right?
No.
Arch doesn't have an installer. It's got a live instance, and then, you know, you can partition your drive and then, like, X copy over everything over. It's crazy.
I know. I've played with it a bit. I just don't have the patience.
Yeah. Well, that's about how I feel about Linux in general. But one's got to learn, right?
And no, just to answer the question in the chat room, I don't know when Windows 10 will be available for the Pi 2. Someday. But what I can tell you is it works very well for what I'm using it for. I upgraded from the original Pi to the Pi 2 to run my ADSB receiver. And then I spent some time earlier today holding up a pair of old television rabbit ears trying to pick up LaGuardia Airport. I'll get it eventually.
Okay.
I don't know what I'll do once I get it, but it's an interesting challenge. Shall we adjourn for the evening? We're close.
Let's call it a night.
Okay. Well, please send us contacts. If you don't like any of those, you can like us on Facebook. You can plus one us on Google Plus. You can favorite us on Twitter. You can insert verb here on social service of your choice, where we are all Android Buffet. And thanks again to our intrepid Google Plus operator. That would be Kevin McLaughlin, who runs our Google Plus page. He runs it very well because I don't. Anything to add, Jerry, before we adjourn for the evening?
I am without anything to add.
Okay, well, if you celebrate it, a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I believe that's tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow?
Isn't the 17th St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I usually notice because when I turn on the television, there's somebody marching in a parade. That's also how I notice Puerto Rican Pride Day. I think that's June 6th. For years, I had this habit of getting stuck in the Puerto Rican Day parade because I can never remember where it was. And for some odd coincidence, even though I don't go to Manhattan very often, I happen to be in Manhattan several years in a row on the weekend of the Puerto Rican Day parade. I'll save that story for another time. Good night, Jerry.
Okay. Good night.